Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mufti Farhan Karani, hope you're well this morning, inshallah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ji, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Ma'am, for the taking up just a little bit of time, we're speaking to Mufti Hassan Ali Suleiman. He comes on just for a few minutes every day also, alhamdulillah. And Mufti Saab, what's the latest? Give us, before your topic, maybe give us some experiences over the past week or what you've noticed or what should we improve?
In the past 2 weeks, 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, it was the season for a new fitna, which is called the matric party. So this matric party is not something which is part of Islam. In the Bisa says, "Man tashabbahat al-qawm fahuwa minhum." So, and if we look at what happened in these matric parties, and you'll be shocked to hear that the Muslim, especially Muslim girls, and what kind of clothes they wear to these matric parties, and what kind of extravagance and wastage takes place at these matric parties. Parents spend between 10,000 and 50,000 rand, you know, wastage. Now, and the same parents will be crying about Gaza, and they'll be crying about Muslims around the world, and they'll be going to march, and they'll be taking out statements, and but they'll be wasting money, squandering their money. For what? For one night. For one night of fun for their child, son or daughter. And they even hire cars. You can hire Ferraris or Lamborghinis, whatever you want. At the price, obviously, per hour. So even the kuffar are now making money out of this matric party thing. And they even have an expo now about matric party, for matric parties. So, and our Muslim girls have become so shameless that the way they dress, you know, Nabi Hassan says on the day of Qiyamah, there'll be some people will be dressed, but they won't be dressed. And so the words are for those kind of people. So they dress like how the kuffar dress. And then they have after parties. I believe even the Muslims even go for these after parties. What is the after party? They go to a rape club. And obviously the alcohol there, zina there, everything evil taking place there, some fights taking place there, and they have disco lights there in the matric party hall, and you have to go with a non-mahram boy, you go with a non-mahram boy to your matric ball or your matric dance, matric party, and so how many sins are taking place? The sin of and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said that a man must not be with a non-mahram woman and alone. So yeah, the non-mahram man is accompanying your daughter in a car, going to the matric dance, then they have to get off there, and then they have to hold hands. Right? So there's so many sins taking place. One is sitting with a non-mahram, then he's holding hands with a non-mahram, and then talking to the non-mahram, and then going into the hall there and sitting with them, and it's like they portray it as if it's their husband or their wife they're going with, and they're going out to eat with their husband or wife, and but it's in so many different vices, and Allah says, "Wala taqrabu zina," don't even go near, close to zina. And how many introductory sins take place before the act of zina takes place. And so this year has to be spoken about, because every Muslim home, every family who has a child in a matric does this every single year. If they don't do it, they'll be ostracized, and why didn't you do it? You too speak on your children and you like that. And so they have peer pressure from their, from other parents. And why you don't allow your child? The school will even ask the question that, but why? But what's wrong? It's a matric party. There's nothing wrong with it. And they justify it because they want you to be part of the sin. So this is the new It's not new, it's old, but nobody speaks about this thing, about the Maghrib parties. And the ulama are supposed to speak about this before the events they play every year. And we should be working on our youth, that they must be made to understand what we do is wrong. And because now they think, oh, this is fine, and the father is either too naive or I don't know what, to think that now his daughter has some dinner with this guy. And it is going to happen. It's going to happen. Everything, all the introductions are already taking place, and everything is arranged from before, and you want your daughter to be obedient to you, but you are pushing for disobedience for Allah. And you are arranging and paying for the disobedience for Allah. You're sending your daughter, your son to Jahannam, and you pay for it. And isn't this so, a very foolish thing to do? If you're paying for your own child's destruction.
Mufti Saab, an interesting topic here, and I feel that we should focus on these things, because over the years here in Indonesia, you hear of all of these things, not from non-Muslim schools. These are from Muslim schools, and we can name so many of them, collecting money, spending so much of time on these things. And as you said, Mufti Saab, they have to go with their partner. And what is all of this here? What Muslim school are we speaking about? Because I can say clearly, and I make shukr to a certain degree, that I went to a non-Muslim school. And what we saw there, we knew everything is not Islam. So when you came out of there, you knew what you saw is not Islam. When you go to Maktab, this is now they teaching you Aqidah. This is the place to learn. That's why I read and I heard somewhere as well that someone approached Hakimul Ummah, Mulana Ashraf Ali Tanwi, Rahmatullah Alayh, one of his murids, and they said, my son is not performing Salah. He's good, but he's in a madrasa, perhaps it was a Darul Uloom, Islamic environment, but no Salah. So Hakimul Ummah is Hakimul Ummah. We can't apply his hikmah and say it in today's times. But he knew what he's doing for that particular murid in that particular instance. So he said, send your son to this Hindu school. So the murid was shocked. I must send my son to a Hindu school. So when the son went, within a few days, the son was on Salah, he was practicing Islam again and everything. So the murid came back to Hakimul Ummah and he said, but I didn't understand your wisdom, but now I see the results are favorable. How is this possible? So he said, see, when your son was in this environment, he took it for granted. Now when he smelled the stench of all of the kufr and idols and everything, then it woke up his iman. So he took him out of there. So sometimes, there's nothing Muslim and Islamic about these schools. It's all of these Western ideas, but here's the harm now. It's proposed as Islam. And people tend to think, okay, there's intermingling here, this is Islam now. There's music here, this is Islam. There's matric balls, this is Islam. But whereas it's got nothing to do with Islam, and it's just using the names such as Al-Aqsa to win the hearts of people, but in those particular schools, what you're doing. And it just reminded me so much, Mufti Saab, when you said now about matric poll. When we were in matric in this non-Muslim school, so I think now, and I make so much of shukr, in fact. So we were stubborn and the rest. So I had a lot of demerits. I think I had 500 demerits. And they would tell us, you must come on a Friday, Jummah. After Jumma, you must come back to school and you must do now community service. And you have to clean classrooms and they'll give you work. And they said, if you don't reduce your demerits, then you are not permitted to come for the matric poll. So at first, it was because this whole hype is there amongst the Muslims and all of that. We must go for the matric poll. This, what you're going to wear, what car you're going to drive, who you're going to take, all these particular things. So I was said, I'm lazy. I'm not going to go for community service and all of these things. I'm not going back to school after Juma. And I left it. I said, if they let it go, they let it go. But I'm not going back for it. It's so Allah works in mysterious ways. The matric poll was in Ramadan. So when I heard it's in Ramadan, then I said, now definitely I'm not going to go and work for this thing. Because who can go for these things? Sadly so, certain groups of Muslims, pockets in different, because there wasn't a Muslim school, but there were certain groups in within the matric classes. There were about four or five classes. So they said, no, we have to go for it. And they actually made a plan to go for it. In Ramadan, you're going for these things, yeah. And you just tend to think, what happens to Islam then? And I make shukr, alhamdulillah, if that was supposed to be embarrassing for us, then alhamdulillah, for us, that was Allah's Azawajal's way of saving us.
Okay. And so it's all the kuffar's plan. You have a Muslim school and Islam in it, because they don't teach you Islam so there's no Islam in this. And the amount of wrongs that go on in the Islam, the name of Islam, and it's so bad that why use the Muslim name? Why use Islamic? Rather just make it a regular school and don't call it Islamic school, because you are disgracing Islam like this here. You are dragging Islam's name through the mud for using the word Islam. And so, nowadays you get people, they call themselves Amina or Fatima, but Fatima doesn't dress the way that Hazrat Fatima had shame and modesty. The modesty of Hazrat Fatima, her name is Fatima, but she doesn't have the modesty of Fatima. So, and then we see that they don't, today's girls, they don't wear scarves anymore, and they invite you. Their gestures and their the tone of speech, and they inviting you to haram. And even if you are married, they don't care. They don't care. So shameless it has become. And then we wonder that why there was a tremor in Joburg. We felt this tremor here. And you have all these magic parties and all this haram going on, and then you still wonder that why there's tremors in it. And even more disturbing, in these schools, not Muslim schools, not private schools, you know, our Muslim parents, they think now that, you know, if we don't send our child to a private school, they won't get a proper education, you know. They must have a good education. And I always tell the people, you know, we went to a government school, and it was, you know, before 94, so, you know, long before that day. So we were in, like, the apartheid time, and in those days, we had education. And still, with that education, it wasn't even a private education. And people still became doctors. They still became accountants. They still became surgeons and whatever. And so why do you have to send your child to a private school? Because these private schools, their main objective is to take your child away from deen and to take the iman away from your child's heart. If your child doesn't remain a Muslim, and one story came to me that there's a, so this particular child is also in a private school, but he says that his friend, another Muslim boy in that same school, because it's an all boys school, so when he greets him, and this Muslim greets the other Muslim, he doesn't reply him, and then he eats from the canteen, and he eats whatever they eat there, chicken or ham, whatever he eats, he doesn't care what he's eating. And then he got him in private, and he asked him, you know, why you don't greet me when you reply me? And he said, no, you mustn't greet me when I was my friend. Because now he wants to be with his friends, and those same friends, they are not Muslims, obviously, and they, he wants to impress them. So they are going to Jahannam, and they're going to take him what to Jahannam. So we have to be very, very careful of, what our children are doing. We don't know. And like even the one child says, you know, they don't let me go for Juma Salah. And so he has a concern that they don't let me go for Juma Salah. So alhamdulillah, we wrote a letter to the principal, and the principal then had he said, no, we'll give an answer. We have to discuss with the board, and they call up a parents meeting and everything. And they then said, okay, the Muslim children are allowed to go for prayers, because prayers on Friday, so they can leave at 12 o'clock and go for their prayers, or half past 12 they're allowed in. So alhamdulillah, they have this concession. Then they don't go back to school after that, because then what they do, they put music classes after that. And then they impose things like, but now the parents have to send their child to a Catholic school. And what are they going to teach them? They're not going to teach them Islam and Iman there. They're going to teach them how to become a Catholic. So then they have to then sit there in the chapel and listen to all the nonsense they're doing out there, and they have to be part of it. So we are throwing our children's Iman down the drain, and then we want to go and complain to the Molana, no, my child is not listening, my child is not disobedient, my daughter doesn't listen. But what are you doing to your children? What are you doing to your children? So we must not destroy our children Iman with our own hands. In the letter that says, and don't destroy yourself. And you're causing your own self. Don't just destroy your own self. So this is how we're destroying ourselves. And then that child and their family, and you say, my parents, they forced me to go to the school. They wanted me to go to the school. And then you get girls also, and girls who are going to schools. And then, you know, the private schools, they impose so many things that the girl also, she also has to go for, they have this, what do you call it, tours. They go on tours, you know, sport tours, like a soccer tour or hockey tour or things like this. Yeah. And then they have to go, they go to different countries and go to other countries. And you're sending your daughter to another, a country, a foreign country, a kuffar country. With all kuffar, right? All the, all your friends, say if it's a girl school, all the girls going, and then there's male teachers with them. And if they're boys, then all the boys are going together. They're going on a trip, they're flying together, going in a bus together, staying in a hotel together. What they eat, Allah knows best what they eat. And there's, I always ask them, what are you eating? What do you eat? No, we eat, the non-meat thing. But how are you eating the non-meat things, and everything is mixed together there? If there's contamination, there cross-contamination, no, we just try to eat noodles and things. But it doesn't make sense. How the parents can spend, and they spend tens of thousands of rand, over 50,000 rand on these trips. And for what? No, you have to go. School says you have to go. And now if you tell the child that, you know what, the child has to be in madrasa this time, yeah? No, and a child, he's got a soccer match, got a hockey match, or he got a cricket match, you know, they have to be there. No, I mean, they won't, they will take out marks from the other subjects, and you know, they have to have this year. Okay, we have to have this year. Yeah, but, madrasa time, your child can't be madrasa, but when the school says you have to be there, then no questions asked, you just have to be there. And so, what are we doing? Giving preference to the kuffar way of lifestyle and the kuffar dictates over Iman and Islam. That we don't even worry whether our child reads their salah, whether our child is even fasting. No, because they have to have a swimming gala, they have to have they've got swimming in Ramadan, so they're having swimming also. They're swimming also, and to dive and everything. And how is your child fasting? Water definitely enters your child's mouth or nose, definitely. And No, they feel small. Or they feel small. Or they're 15 years old, they feel small. Allah Ta'ala says they are really bad, but you think now they feel small. So, if we, now Nabi Prophet says when your child is 7 years old, then you must reprimand your child and shout your child and tell your child you must read Salah. Force your child to read Salah. Age of 10, you have to beat them. And you have to hit them. Without giving marks on your body, you have to hit them. And you have to inculcate the Salah in them. So when they become Bali, then already they're in the habit of reading Salah. And nowadays, the parents say, no, the child is too young to pass now. And again, when they become Bali, and the child is already 13 years old, probably they're Bali already, but they're just bluffing the parents, no, we're not so Bali. So they get on not passing, no, because it's too difficult, too tough. Shame the child, you know, they have to go to school, you know, it's difficult, it's tough on the child. But it's Allah Ta'ala's law, not our law, it's Allah Ta'ala's law, but we don't care about it. So all these things here, we ask ourselves that why are the Muslims being punished all over the world? And like you see now in Syria, and the instead of raising for things like the sanctions being dropped, and then you find in Saudi Arabia all these kind of things. And I believe also there in Saudi Arabia there was one incident now recently, a woman wearing the scarf, Palestinian scarf, and the guy told her, if you don't take it out, then we're going to revoke your visa, we're going to send you back home, you'll be banned from Saudi Arabia. So all these kind of things, assault on Islam, is taking place on a daily basis. So we have to guard our iman, and we have to read the dua every day. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana ba'da idh hadaytana wa hab lana min ladunka rahmatan. Oh Allah, just guide us. Ya Allah, keep us on hidayah. Keep us on sirat al-mustaqim. Don't let us lose our iman. And when we come to the akhirah, close our eyes on the dunya, and we find out that we didn't have iman, although we taught reading salah and يَحْهُمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّهُمْ يُحْسِنُونَ صُنْعَ الْإِنْكِ. The people think that they are doing good, but when they meet their creator, then they find out that they wouldn't be any good, because the criteria is iman, our belief, everything there, our picture is based inside there. So we have to renew our iman, and the Sahaba, they have majority of iman, just making the zikr of Allah Ta'ala. In different kinds of haqqa, we get the chitti, we make love, because we get the nostalgia, we make soft zikr, and this is the most authentic, we make soft zikr. So the zikr of Arabi is zikr of Hafi, it's not one of zikr. So we think that the chitti has been something wrong, or this one has been done. Every year, look at our iman, and you have to call it the iman.
Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah Khairan for that advice, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to practice and to heed the advice. Make dua for us, Mufti Sahib. Inshallah, we'll meet you again next week, inshallah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.